For those of you that just joined us in the chamber, we're really glad that you're here. The rules are pretty simple. You're not allowed to stand unless you're a member of the press. If you want to testify, then sign up. The sign-up sheet is still out front. Is that right, Carla?
They're on the second floor right now.
Signing people up?
Right.
Okay. So sign up. Testimony will likely be a minute or 2 minutes because of the number of people that have signed up to testify. And all you need to give us when you approach, we call folks up in groups of four, and all you need to do is to give us your first and last name. No address, no phone number, no email address, just no telephone number, just your first and last name. We're glad you're here, and we will start in 2 seconds.
We'll give their Twitter feeds.
What's that? Should
the Twitter feed? Can you give that?
I didn't make sure you had time.
I did. Thanks. Yeah, if you want to tweet, that's fine. All right.
And you can't give email addresses or anything.
Right. So. Give your Twitter feed.
Okay. We'll come back from recess. And Carla, can you please read the title for item number 978?
Accept model community benefits agreement and direct staff to utilize as a basis for negotiating such agreements on appropriate large-scale public works projects.
And if I could have the first four invited folks to testify, Maurice Romig, O'Neill Electric, Doug Tweedy, Secretary Treasurer of the Pacific Northwest Regional Council of Carpenters, Jody Parker, Columbia Pacific Building Trades, and I'm going to, oh, sorry, Jim Francisconi, Christine Moody, if you'd come forward first. Peter, are you coming forward as well? No. All right. Today we have an opportunity to vote on a resolution that will brighten Portland's future and help fulfill the goals of equity in the Portland Plan. It will also make a significant step forward to make sure the prosperity that's available in this city is available equally to all Portlanders. Over the past 2 years, the City of Portland has been working with community partners to develop a community benefits agreement that ensures workforce equity, promotes the training and placement of women and Portlanders of color, and drives demand for minority and women-owned businesses on specific public construction projects. We know from the 2009 disparity study that minority-owned prime contractors, the contractor overseeing any subcontractors on a project, are underutilized on city projects. This is a chance to change that, to bring workforce equity to city contracts and promote the training and placement of women and people of color working on large city jobs. I'd like to thank our partners in the labor industry, minority contractors, the community as a whole. It includes the Urban League of Portland, Constructing Hope, the Electrical Worker Minority Caucus, Emerald Cities Portland, Verde, Portland Youth Builders, Northwest Infrastructure, Oregon Tradeswomen, Oregon Action, IUOE 701, Columbia Pacific Training Council, CAUSE, NEA, and a long list of others. I'd also like to thank former City Commissioner Jim Francisconi for his tireless leadership and for serving as an organizer and attorney for this project, and recognize the great work of our Chief Procurement Officer, Christine Moody, who along with Tracy Reeves in the City Attorney's Office have helped make this project a reality. Mr. Francisconi, would you like to start?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mayor, City Commissioners. It's an honor to be here. Let me say at the outset just a couple of thank yous. One is, Mayor, we needed your leadership to kind of, we've been working on this for a couple of years together, but we needed you to put it over the line, and I congratulate your staff, Peter, as well. Commissioner Lehner, we needed some pilot projects in order to demonstrate the validity of this approach. So we thank you as well, right off the bat. And, you know, I knew our city staff was good when I was in your role, but negotiating with them, I know they're tough, I know they're fair, And Jim Van Dyke, Tracy Reeves did a great job sitting next to Christine Moody. She's carrying on the tradition of purchasing about caring for all. So I wanted to put a plug in for your staff. And I know you're going to rely maybe more on their legal judgment than mine. I did, one clarity is I am proud to represent the Pacific Northwest Council of Carpenters and Local 701 of the Operating Engineers. That's who paid me to help work on this. It was my privilege in particular to work with Doug Tweedy and Nelda Wilson, who you'll hear briefly from. These are folks who are strong union advocates because they believe that's the way in to stay in the middle class with good-paying jobs, benefits, health care, retirement. But they also know we need to do business differently. That's what this agreement is. They're willing to reach out with some new strategies, and they made it clear to me that it was important that the Columbia Pacific building trades be part of the deal. Minority contractors, as represented by Maurice Remick, be part of the deal. Community groups that the mayor's listed in the pre-apprenticeship programs. Because the goal here wasn't ultimately to serve just the carpenters and operators. It's to help strengthen the community. So that's what this is all about. In terms of just brief background, there were kind of six organizing principles that formed kind of the basis of this complicated agreement. And then I will briefly touch on each of these. One is to build relationships between unions and people of color, including minority contractors. You've seen unions on workforce diversity issues, but this agreement is also about minority contractors and unions and building that relationship because they create diverse workers, and it's important, the economic well-being. It's about increasing apprenticeship opportunities for all Portland residents. It's also about that. It's increasing the diversity of apprentices and journeymen. Journeymen. This isn't just about apprentices. This is increasing diversity in journeymen. It's also about increasing the capacity, not only the work for minority contractors and women, but the capacity of minority contractors. And it's about tracking with accountability measures. I saw one letter objecting to some accountability measures, but the accountability measures are on good faith efforts. These are aspirational goals. It's accountability on good faith, not on the goals themselves. And it respects the city and the contractor's ability to exercise management responsibilities. We don't get into any of that. So a couple of specifics on the agreement, six major things that make this, in my view, and we've researched these across the country, an historic agreement, not only in the Portland region, not only in Oregon, but across the country. First, if you're a disadvantaged minority business, you don't have to join the union at all under this agreement. You can bring your core employees with you to work on the project. And the unions and the community groups were willing to go further, but we heeded the advice of your city attorney on this. So there's a disadvantaged business exception. You don't have to join the union at all. You know what kind of position that puts Jody, Doug Tweedy, Nelda in? You don't see these kind of agreements on the East Coast, but they were willing to do this for the broader good of the community. Second, it's the unions, the owners, the contractors, the community groups, have agreed to aspirational goals, the unions have, and to do their part to try to execute them. So there's four goals. One is 20% community apprenticeship goals, which is for everyone, which is consistent with the city policy. It should be state policy, I would add. 18% diversity of apprentices for people of color, 9% for women. Again, the unions were willing to go further, but we agreed to this because to comply with existing city policy. A journeyman, 18% people of color, 9%. This is journeyman. Nelda Wilson will talk about the experience on South Waterfront that was patterned on this, that will demonstrate we can reach these aspirational goals. And then 20% of the hard costs for minority contractors, women contractors, disadvantaged businesses, which is PDC's policy, and it's an aspirational goal. As an aside, we've included a severability portion to the contract. So if the city attorney's advice if the whole agreement, if any part is not appropriate, the rest of the agreement stays in place. We also have helmets to hard hat strategy to help our veterans, and we have a local workforce aspirational goal as well of 30%. So that's all under the second category. The third is there's a series of aggressive recruitment policies. Connie Ashbrook drafted a lot of these, and retention policies. These are the best practices in the industry. The only one I'll point out is, and everybody's agreed to this, mandatory cultural competency training for the supervisors. That's just one aspect of seven or eight of the best practices that are in this document. The fourth is also very unique. It's going to take some resources to do this right, to grow capacity. We're not going to just do this with new policies and practices. That's what's really unique about this. So you know the concept of 1% for the art? Now it's 1.5% for equity. On the Hoffman project we'll get into in a minute, it's 1% because we appreciate Commissioner Leonard and Hoffman agreeing to this after the RFP. So on the Hoffman, there's 0.5% of the contract price set aside to help diversify the workforce. But there's also a technical assistance fund for, like, Tony Jones, the Hispanic Chamber, to help grow the capacity of minority businesses. On the Kelly Butte project, it's 0.25%, but the standard agreement we're hoping with the city will be 0.50%. And then there's a monitoring fund to make sure we actually execute this at 0.25% on both projects. So again, the Kelly Butte would be a total of 1% for all three funds, and on the other agreements, 1.5%. The fifth is that it particularly appeals to me because what we're trying, and the groups. I should say, I did not draft all these. This was a combination of efforts of all the people that Mayor Adams listed that improved this over a two-year period. This fifth strategy is a compliance. Can somebody give me a glass of water, please?
Yeah.
Thanks. The fifth is a compliance monitoring function, where union, usually it's labor management that sit on these to monitor the progress every 30, 60 days on the project. This, there's a labor management community committee with equal votes of labor management and community representatives. Never heard of that. And again, the owners agreed, labor's agreed, the community's agreed to monitor the progress on this. And then finally, there's sanctions, as I mentioned, to the point of you can withhold progress payments, and there's even the potential of liquidated damages. The idea is not to impose any penalties. The idea is to have it over there to make sure people just execute good faith efforts. I have a signature page here of all the groups that have signed it. And I guess the last thing I want to say, be turning it over to Christine, is the commitment of the carpenters, the operators, and everybody here, and in fact, they've authorized me, my continued involvement after you hopefully pass this, is to make sure it works. We've done the best we can to negotiate an agreement, but we know it's in the execution. And so we're going to watch this, and Commissioner Fritz, I heard what you said at the last. We'll come back to you as often as you want to monitor the progress on this, because the next step will be to expand this on piloted efforts now at other major jurisdictions, because the city usually leads the way, but not other people sometimes don't follow. But we appreciate you leading the way on this. Thank you.
Well, I want to underscore my thanks to you, Jim, for your work on this. Workforce equity is a focus of your public service. It was a focus of your time as an elected official, and I'm very grateful. This public contracting is incredibly complex. Christine makes it look relatively easy, but it actually is incredibly complex. And so the complexity and the completeness of the document, I think, appropriately reflects that. And I just want to underscore as one point you made that I don't think is very well understood. The disparity study in 09 looks at our utilization of existing firms and looks at workforce of folks that are already in the workforce. And it's a federal sort of approach. It has been this approach of having to do a disparity and doing it this way is what the federal courts have decreed for all of us. But it doesn't look at our efforts at growing the number of firms and at growing the number of qualified workers in the workforce. So it's really, I think, it's federal law. We have to follow it. This pushes us and gives us the tools to grow the number of opportunities for all Portlanders, and especially Portlanders of color and women, to be in the trades, in the skilled trades, which is a great way to make a family wage job. Christine Moody, would you like to walk us through some details?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor, council members. So as Mr. Francisconi mentioned, the community benefits agreement focuses on workforce equity and inclusion, promoting training and placement of women and minority construction workers, and minimizes labor disruption. In addition, it ensures that everyone working on the project has health benefits. The model CBA includes apprenticeship and journey-level workforce diversity requirements that include an 18% goal for minority workers and a 9% goal for women workers. It also allows for recognized pre-apprenticeship programs and community-based organizations to be a first source for entry into apprenticeship programs to meet the goals required of the CBA. All contractors and subcontractors will be required to hire at least 30% of their workforce from historically underutilized business zones within the Portland metro area. The model CBA also incorporates community contracting goals, in which up to 5% bid preference can be given to a joint venture between a prime contractor and a firm that is certified by the state of Oregon as a minority, women, or disadvantaged business. It also allows for project funds to be established to provide technical assistance and business support, promote the recruitment, training, and hiring of qualified diverse workers. The model CBA is being used as a pilot on two Portland Water Bureau projects, the Kelly Butte Reservoir and Interstate Maintenance Facility Renovation Project. The city has worked diligently with Hoffman Construction Company of Oregon to make the CBA on both of these projects provide the benefits I described and Jim described to the Portland community. Hoffman has committed to achieve 20% of the hard construction costs for MWDBE subcontracting on both projects. In addition, Hoffman and its subcontractors will comply with the CBA's workforce diversity requirements for both apprenticeship and journey-level workers. The resolution also directs Procurement Services and the Portland Water Bureau to evaluate the effectiveness of the CBA on these two pilot projects in meeting overall city goals and objectives and report the results back to City Council. The city will also gather additional community input to inform negotiations on future community benefit agreements and will work to identify future projects in which the CBA will be appropriate.
Question, Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim, for your good work. Christine, I want to give you a chance to address something we're likely to hear in some testimony, and I just want to make sure that you have a moment to address this issue in a thoughtful way. So having led the city's effort in the updating of the disparity study, I became all too familiar with the legal landscape, what we can and can't do here. And our approach as a city about aspirational goals, good faith efforts, was designed to fall within the area that the courts allow us to use as tools to get to these goals. Sometimes we're encouraged to go further, and the legal advice we get is we might trip some wires and have the whole thing challenged and invalidated, so we have to be very careful. So far, so good?
Yes.
So we've also, all of us have received some correspondence from some trade associations raising objections to this agreement. And one of the themes that I've detected is sort of revisiting the question of whether our aspirational goals and our good faith efforts are still legally permissible tools to use to get to this end. My understanding is they are, but would you like to address that?
Yes, the model CBA also provides for good faith efforts, very similar to what the city does on other construction projects that don't have a CBA. So the good faith efforts would then be reviewed by a committee. As Jim said, these are aspirational goals for subcontracting and workforce diversity. And contractors will need to provide good faith efforts to ensure us that they actually made an effort to meet the goals.
And if I could just add one thing, Commissioner Fish. So Christine talked about it. I left it out accidentally. The 5% preference for prime contractors is different, and that's because the city has a disparity study on prime contractors.
Right.
So that's the difference. That's why there's no percentages on subcontractors.
And that's important. So we're following the data that we accumulate, what we got from the disparity study, and we're also adhering to the roadmap that the courts have set out, which allow us to maneuver. And I don't see any significant departure in this agreement from our existing practices around good faith and aspirational goals.
No, that's what I was just explaining. The 20% is actually a subcontracting goal. And along with that comes good faith efforts that a prime contractor would need to perform, which is very similar to what we do on other city projects.
And just to close the loop on it, if we have some of these trade associations here to testify, the question I'm going to ask them is there concern with this agreement or with the approach the city has taken before? I mean, fair enough, okay. If someone has a dispute with our overall approach, but if the criticism that's directed to this agreement is really a hangover from the criticism of our existing approach, as far as I'm concerned, the council has already decided what approach we're going to take on that. So we're not reopening that question. Thank you.
So let me start with the 5% bid preference. I mean, I want to make sure we're using the right terminology. So we're not talking about low bids. We're talking about request for proposal type approaches. Is that correct?
Generally,
we're not allowed to do low bid preferences under state law, I thought.
Well, I might need a legal opinion on that, but I just to explain, for the CBA and in the resolution, we're looking at projects that are $15 million and above.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, the city for those types of projects, because of the complexity and the dollar amount, we're doing a request for proposal. And so in that, we would give a preference in that for a joint venture between a prime contractor and a minority contractor or a women-owned contractor.
Right. So I think it's important to make that point. When we do a request for a proposal,
yes,
we are allowed to add 5% points in there for a joint venture. But
correct,
if we're doing a strict low bid for whatever, and you know we do that, you're not allowed to do a strict low bid type of preference under state law.
So. Correct.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So the second point is I got kind of lost in all those 0.5%, 1.5% funds, and I guess maybe I'll have Christine run through that, and then I also want to know who's overseeing that money and what it goes for. So could you walk us through those percentages again?
I need to go. There's three separate funds, and I have them marked in the agreement.
Or Jim, if you want to do it. I mean, I just got kind of lost.
I can do it. Okay. I have them marked, Commissioner. On the
moving parts.
The first one that's clear on your second question, if that's right, if I could take the second one first. On the workforce funds, there's an established entity, Work Systems, Inc., with cause. And so they're going to be the recipient of the workforce funds, and the mayor made that clear that he would like that. But there, a committee of the stakeholders will be formed to determine that. So that, see, because what we need to do is create a unified system, not
is
only
that,
for these
is
projects.
Is that the 1.5%, or is that
To answer your question, on the Kelly Butte project, it'll be 0.5%. Of the project cost. On the other agreement, because it had already been let, right, it'll be 0.75%.
I'm just saying, let's put aside the existing projects and say we have a new project that's $15 million or above. So how much of that project goes to the workforce fund?
So
half
in
a
the
percent.
Half a percent.
Yeah, in the model template, that the resolution is about, there's actually three separate funds. So there's a community construction training outreach and recruitment fund, which would have 0.75%. And then there is
a total project value, 0.75%.
Yes. Okay. And then there is a technical assistance fund that has 0.5%. And there is one more fund, the compliance monitoring fund. 0.25% for the compliance monitoring fund. So there are three separate funds that money goes into, and they have different goals and objectives for those funds.
Is the city a member of the committee
yes, as the owner.
All three of these?
We are a member of all three of those committees that then the committee has different representatives from the community. The city, as the owner, is participating in that, and they will vote on where those funds, who the recipient of those funds go to.
The city has ultimate sort of oversight, fiduciary responsibility for the disbursement, the spending of those dollars.
The city is a participant in the committee.
Correct. I think you used the word fiduciary responsibility. We have the city is one of three, the city and the county and Washington County are the three elected officials, are the legal officers for WSI. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a federal agent, I mean, it's a federally created agency. So the fiduciary responsibility rests with WSI. We have an intergovernmental agreement with WSI that they serve as our workforce agency.
For all three of these funds and WSI?
Correct.
Okay.
No, excuse me, Mayor, for not correcting you. The second point I wanted to make is on the technical assistance for minority contracting, there hasn't yet. That's beyond the scope of WSI. There's been loose conversations or names have come up, such as PDC. The other one is TriMet. What we need is somebody to take this on, Commissioner. And so we're in the process of doing that. We can't do everything in this agreement, but that one needs to be done.
So we have to come back to us on that, where that money goes.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for that. Initial question, any other discussion? How many people have signed up?
We have about 24.
Okay. Our invited first panel. Thank you both. Maurice Romick, Doug Tweedy, Jody Parker. And they'll be followed by Nelda Wilson, Pat Daniels, Eddie Lincoln, and Mitch Hornicker. And time them to
2 minutes.
Well, they get 3 minutes, but everyone else gets 2 minutes. Hi, welcome. Glad you're here.
Good morning. Thank you. I'd like to start. And thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Jody Gutzlow-Parker. I am with Columbia Pacific Building Trades. You'll see me looking down at the paper. I really don't have anything written down, but save for a few. This is a step in the right direction. It is in no way the Hillel salve to bring everybody together. You know, there's been a lot of compromises throughout. I think the committee worked for 2 years. I got to sit in on the last 6 months of that. There's a lot of compromises being addressed, and we worked through a lot of issues to get here, and I'm just proud to be a part of that. Columbia Pacific Building Trades is in support of this agreement. It is a living document. That means to us that we can, as we grow from it, we can move forward, we can make some tweaks, and get it to a better, it's kind of like raising children, you know. So we're raising a kid, basically. And in closing, you heard that I'm supportive, correct?
Sure.
Excellent. In closing, I got to, because I think that we're here, we have families here. There's a lot of folks here, and thanks, everybody, for turning out. I got to take my grandson to sign up for fifth grade last night and up on the wall because I read a lot, and I read just about anything I can. Not that I understand it. This one I do. It's a quote by Frederick Douglass that I think really applies here. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. We see struggles, and I think that we see progress. So thank you for listening, and thanks for entertaining this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Romick?
Well, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners, for hearing us today. My name is Maurice Romick. I'm the president of O'Neill Electric. I'm also the vice president of the National Association of Minority Contractors. I want to say that the CBA is the most inclusive thing that I've seen come from the city in my time here, I think that the number of different elements that is challenging in construction have been addressed in one form or another. It's inclusionary. It includes both the pre-apprenticeship programs, the apprenticeship programs, the contractors, the subcontractors, both union, non-union alike. And it brought a whole group of people together to sit there and work through this issue. The issue is whether or not we can have inclusion in construction. And just by this group meeting for the number of years that we've met, we were able to build trust amongst each other and say that, yes, we can fix this problem as an industry. We thank your leadership for leading and help spearhead this and bring it forth so that now we could actually look at the hard work. And now it's even more hard work because we're going to have to implement. We're going to have to make sure that this program is inclusionary. But from the relationships that I've been able to meet during this process, I realized that one thing, we're all in this together. We're all looking at the same outcomes. We're looking at wanting to make sure that there's livable wage jobs, that both minority and majority culture are paid equally, and so there's no change in which, you know, one set gets paid less than the other, and making sure that all of us as minorities, both on contracting and on workforce, have equal opportunity to be able to participate on city projects. And that's what I think this addresses here today. So I'd like to thank you guys for bringing it up.
Thank you very much. Sir, welcome.
Good morning. My name is Doug Tweedy, and I'm the elected leader of the Carpenters Union for 5 states in the Northwest. And first of all, I'd like to thank a few people that without their commitment, we wouldn't be sitting here today. And first of all, Maurice Romming and Nelda Wilson of Operating Engineers, Jim Francisconi, and Michael Birch of the Carpenters. This resolution is about opportunity. And I thank you, Mayor and City Commissioners, for giving us this opportunity to talk to you about this today and consider this resolution. Opportunity is what this is all about. It's the disparity within our workforce and our contracting community is documented, and it does exist. This whole concept is to benefit all the citizens of Portland by giving equal opportunity where it has not been previously. But opportunity for small business or workforce on a one-time basis does a little good. No one benefits from a short-term windfall of having a good job. It's all about continuity of opportunity. That's what makes people whole. That's what makes a strong community. People with family living wages is continuity of opportunity. By the city adopting this resolution, that's the first two opportunities. Hopefully there will be many more to come from the city and other public agencies as well. I certainly commend the city for being the first agency to step up to the plate and do the right thing. But that continuity of opportunity, I said, is the central key. It's the all-important part. Because whether it's a small business, a diversified or disadvantaged small business trying to get on their feet and trying to grow, or it's somebody entering the workforce, they have to have repeated opportunity. Few people make it on their first opportunity. There has to be continuation of that. People coming into the union apprenticeship programs, most of which are 3 to 5 years long, they're working, they're learning, and they're earning their way to family living wages. And these are real jobs. These are real futures. These aren't one-time shots in the pan. This is something that will benefit that person and their family for a long time to come, and from the larger picture, the city of Portland for a long time to come. Thank you for this opportunity. We've been working long and hard, and this is a major step forward with this process. Hopefully, other government agencies will follow the leadership of you, Mayor, and you City Council people of Portland, and follow your leadership and come aboard as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for all the work that you've done in helping to bring all organized labor community groups together to work on this issue. The three of you, really important work. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next panel, last panel, is Nilda Wilson from International Union of Operating Engineers 701, Pat Daniels, Constructing Hope, Eddie Lincoln, ETAP, and Mitch Horniker, Howard S. Wright Contractors. Welcome. Ms. Wilson, would you like to begin?
Sure. Good morning, Mayor and Council members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in front of you today. I'm just going to briefly introduce myself. My name is Nelda Wilson. I'm operating engineer, Local 701. My current position is business manager of the union, and you may know for many years now I've been the chairperson of the South Waterfront Oversight Committee. I've also served on the CAUSE board, both in the executive board capacity and as just a board member. And then also I served for several years on the PDC, Workforce Diversity Strategy Agreement, for board. So also I'm a, you know, I started my career as an apprentice many years ago, but long time ago, but not far away here. So I got in the opportunity to get into the operating engineers through affirmative action. You remember, may remember that. It was a mandate where they had to open up the ranks for women and minorities, and that was my shot. I was one of the 40 that absolutely that got the opportunity to have a career. So, you know, I made good benefits. I had health care. I had started on my pension, and I also learned the skills that actually propelled me through my entire life. Did all the things that people want to do, buy a house, raise their kids, you know, do all those important things for individuals, okay? So that was a win-win thing for me, a win-win opportunity. So just I wanted to touch on South Waterfront. It is a piece of this agreement. In 2003, I spoke to the PDC Commission then about the Third Amendment to the Development Agreement and the build-out at South Waterfront. And I was in support of that for several reasons. It had high apprenticeship and diversity goals for women and people of color in the local workforce, because the build-out would span 8 years or two apprenticeship cycles. There'd be many opportunities for apprentices to start their apprenticeship, work through their entire apprenticeship, and still remain on the job as journey workers. That's a much different concept than the workforce hiring and training program that the city has, because it also incorporates the journey worker goals. So that was a win-win opportunity for workers in the community, just like I had many years ago. So, you know, that agreement took a couple years to negotiate also. And like the community benefit agreement, the Project Apprenticeship Agreement, or the PAA, has a mandated oversight committee. That was formed immediately after the agreement was signed. And first task, of course, was to get those reporting forms all sorted out with the city attorney. I mean, that was a six-month process just right there. So there's some groundwork that's been done here for this agreement, and I want you to be aware of. Anyways, so those goals have been set. The oversight committee typically meets monthly. We review the projects as they come on board. As the project ramps up, that's the crucial time to get apprentices and people of color and women working on the project. I mean, that's when those hirings happen. So it's very important to meet early in the project and to try to troubleshoot any of those issues that may come up. So that's an important aspect of the community benefits agreement in front of you today. Currently, the PAA goals for 2012 the targeted aspirational goals are 14% women and 20% minority. That's of total workforce hours, so based on hours. And currently on Block 49, the numbers achieved are 12.63% women and 33.97% minority workers. So we can do this, and it is working. I mean, that equates to 28 full-time jobs for women and minorities on that project for a year, right?
Can I just comment, since you mentioned Block 49, which we've now renamed Gray's Landing? The reason we've had that success is we took an entirely different approach with Christine's office taking the lead at the front end in reaching out in finding better ways of communicating and of being more intentional. And it meant more work for the contractors. Mm-hmm. And it meant more effort by all, but those numbers were not accidental. And we hope they become the new norm, but there was an awful lot of work, and your good work included, which brought us to that point.
I understand. Yeah, that's especially the women goal on that project before the other previous projects at South Waterfront, about 7.5% was the maximum, the kind of the ceiling that we achieved for women employment. Minority has also been, workers have been around in that 18 to 20% probably in the past, over the years, over the 7 years I've served on the committee. So it is a significant jump forward, and I appreciate your work also. So, and Walsh did a great job, or RDF Builders, whichever name you want to call them by. So one thing that I wanted to comment on, you may hear today that open shop apprentices can't work on this project, and that's not true. Apprenticeship belongs to the individual, right? There are multiple apprenticeships. Apprentices are free to change apprenticeship programs. They're free to petition to join, you know, leave the apprenticeship program they're in, even in the same trade, and petition the JATC to allow them to join another apprenticeship program. So it's really not an entity or a provider. It's the individual's choice that makes that happen, and they're free to have that choice. So, as you know, I've always been a strong advocate for both journey workers and apprenticeship, you know, training and skills upgrade and those type of things. And I see the community benefits agreement as achieving both of those goals, to have a local workforce that's ready and able and skilled enough to work on all the city's projects in the future. I believe the City Council should approve the community benefits agreement template to encourage employers to have a stronger commitment to training workers here, to keep apprentices working by having a strong commitment to registered apprenticeship, keep women and people of color working by providing opportunities to work as both apprentice and journey workers on city projects. And I want to create careers, not just a job, but really to create careers. And I encourage you to build on the successes of South Waterfront and the PAA. And, you know, there's going to be some opposition from advocates for employer association. You may hear that today, but please don't let that sway your opinion about the community benefits agreement on behalf of a few employers. This really, you need to be champions for the many citizens in Portland and create those win-win opportunities for people here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You've worked very hard on this as well, so thank you. Who would like to go next? Would you like to go?
I would like to go. Okay, I'm Pat Daniels, and I'm the Executive Director with Constructing Hope Pre-Apprenticeship Training Program. Just to tell you a little bit about Constructing Hope, our program targets people coming from incarceration and low-income minorities in the community. Right now, our program is made up of 56% African-American, 26% white, 11% Latino, and 7% Native American. So with that, I wanted to say that 100% of the participants in our program are low-income. And what this would do for us is actually create and actually grow a healthy community. As Nelda said, we are state-approved pre-apprenticeship training programs, so our main job is to create pathways for our graduates. Last year, we graduated 50 people, but we take in 60 annually. So this is going to strengthen the relationship for our programs with the trades in creating a stronger program curriculum as we're training our graduates. It's going to increase the level of training that we're providing to our graduates. We're looking at adding advanced skills with the dollars that we would receive for this. A lot of times people look at the pre-apprenticeship training programs and you wonder where our funding come from. It's a vicious circle for us to continue grant writing year after year and look at micro-enterprise and look for ways for us to train people to go into the construction trades. And what this would do for us is provide an avenue for us to build a community through providing a more qualified worker. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. I'm Mitch Horniker, Executive Vice President of Howard S. Wright at Balfour Beatty Construction Company. We have 265 employees in the state of Oregon and over 2,500 nationwide. We are a union contractor in Oregon. We're signatory to the carpenters, laborers, and cement finishers. We have a company objective to offer small business opportunities and so that small business can compete on an equal footing and an equal basis with all bidders. We as a company assist small businesses in developing and strengthening their business through strategies of mentoring, strategic alliances, consistent community engagement. For purposes of our company, a small business is any business that is certified a small business by a national, state, or local accreditation certification authority. This means that minority-owned businesses, women-owned business enterprises, emerging small businesses, small disadvantaged businesses, and veteran-owned small businesses all fall within that definition. I'm here today to support workforce equity and inclusivity. Now, we have friends who sincerely believe in inclusivity and are working hard on workforce equity, but do not support the CBA. We believe that the path forward is through greater inclusion, not less. When the goal is inclusion, no one's ox needs to be gored. We think we should be looking at ways to expand the exclusion, not create subcategories of small businesses that receive a greater benefit or an enhanced benefit. We think greater inclusion is and will be successful, and our recent experience proves it out. We're lucky enough to be the contractor down at the Edith Green Wendell Wyatt Federal Building Modernization Project, and we put in place a PLA, very similar but broader than the CBA, and our results have been wonderful. We've got 111 small business partners, subcontractors of first and second tier on that project, $21 million awarded to these subcontractors, 17% of all of our subcontracts fall within this category, 21% apprentice participation, 8% female worker participation, and 17% minority worker participation. If you move forward with the CBA, we agree that it should be used on two pilot projects of significant scale and budget and staff that create the longevity and provide the significant workforce and small business subcontracting opportunities necessary to make these programs work. We further support a public review of the effectiveness of these pilot projects that will focus on how to expand the reach and impact to a greater number of minority, women, and emerging small businesses.
I want to thank you and your firm, which does such a great job helping to build and rebuild the city and the region, for doing your work in such a socially conscious manner. It's, you know, you are a high standard for other firms to emulate, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hi, how are you?
Good morning, Mayor.
That T-shirt looks good on you.
Commissioner, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have the opportunity to come and talk before the commissioner today in support of the Community Benefits Agreement. My name is Eddie Lincoln. I am the program director for the ETAP program. The history of ETAP is that in the Hope Sticks project, there was 350 apprentices that were trained and went into the construction trades during that time. It was with the Housing Authority of Portland at the time, and since being at the Portland Community College program, we have been able to outreach low-income residents, men and women, and people of color. Secondly, I just wanted to say that Construction Hope is doing a good job at pre-apprenticeship training. So for is the Oregon Tradeswoman Network and also the Portland Youth Builders. I sit here to just say I'm in complete support of the pre-apprenticeships and what the institution of the Community Benefits Agreement will do. No training in high schools for construction trades exist anymore because they're so expensive to run. The pre-apprenticeship programs have been a viable alternative for students who have a strong interest in entering into the construction trades. So we've been able to provide that pathway for students and to reach men of color, women of color, and low-income residents in the community. You know, in the community, there is high levels of unemployment. And when they are employed, they are, you know, low-wage jobs. What the construction trades will have a significant impact on is the ability to reach that middle income and to have a significant ability to raise their families, provide for their families, and have a living wage. There's a significant collaboration that has taken place throughout all the consortium members of this community benefits agreement. Some extraordinary work has been done. I just feel a real pleasure to be able to work with the representatives, the presidents, directors of the organizations that are represented in it, and I just want to just give my full support and hope that the commissioners will support it as well.
Thank you very much and the work that you do. Appreciate it. All right. I will now go to the sign-up list. We're going to start with time is 11:30. We're going to start with 1 minute. If you need more, ask for more. That'll be our default.
The first four, please come on up. Michael Alexander, James Faison, Isaac Dixon, and Michael Martin. And they'll be followed by Kendrick Mitchell, Jean Mulleri, Victoria Lara, and Jesus Ramirez.
Mayor, if I could just, since Mike Alexander's with us, if I could just brag for a moment. Mike, as you know, is the vice chair of the Portland Parks Board and has been a dedicated, enthusiastic supporter of our work and recently was selected to be the new executive director of the Urban League. Everyone in the Parks family is very proud of this new assignment, and we hope we don't lose him because we need his leadership on Parks. But my on behalf of the whole council, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Would you like to begin?
I'd be happy to. Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. And as Commissioner Fish indicated, I'm Mike Alexander, and I have the privilege to serve as the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Urban League of Portland. And we are here today in support of the Community Benefit Agreement. We believe that it represents a meaningful opportunity to adopt and implement a set of standards that we believe can distinguish the city and all of our key stakeholders. We base our belief on three elements of the agreement that we strongly support. First, the fact that it focuses on a concerted effort by all participants to ensure that goals of workforce diversity and community inclusion are integral parts of project planning and bidding processes for all contractors. Secondly, I think by its very nature, the CBA is an evolving and organic framework. It is not a perfect document, but we believe that it begins in a very good place. And the fact that we will have the opportunity to have oversight from the community board and those stakeholders to continue to evolve the agreement is a very strong statement. I think, like many new beginnings, sometimes the better is the enemy of the good. But we believe that this is a great starting place, and on behalf of the Urban League, we are strongly in support of it and would strongly ask that you adopt the measure and approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Michael Martin, owner of Northwest Infrastructure. I think from the things have
you get a little closer to the mic.
Thus far, it's where the rubber meets the road, being a contractor, being in business for 17 years. I'm a demolition utility contractor, and sustainability is important. I've had the opportunity to work on large projects, light rail, the tram, but the sustainability is important, and I think that the CBA would be able to address that, and I would be able to take advantage of that as a small contractor. That not only to be able to be awarded large projects, but not to wait 4 or 5 years for the next opportunity to be able to be on a big project. For the employees that were trained, and we utilize the same workforce training individuals, we reach out to ETAP and other organizations and employ those individuals, men and women. But the sustainability, I think, is where the lacking is, to where it is that we're able to get a project and not wait a long period of time. And so with that, I think what it'll also do is allow for more than just a $100,000 contract and below. But again, sustainability would be there for us as well.
Thank you, and thanks for being here. Hi, welcome back.
Good morning. My name is James Faison. My company is Faison Construction. We are a small general contractor and currently working on Block 49 right now and putting the site work, concrete around it. We are a company. We're working with Walsh Construction and in a partnership on block on MLK Elliott, which is a five-story building going in on MLK. We're also working with Fortis Construction at PCC in a partnership, working on a PCC project at Rock Creek. I'm here to say that you know, minorities need a chance to grow their companies, and I think this benefit agreement will be something that would help that substantially. We have been in business now for nine years, and we have worked with some really good contractors that have made the effort and stepped forward to make things happen. And I think you will find those contractors like Walsh Construction and Fortis and different contractors that have made the effort. But this benefit agreement, I think, will be something that would help us move in the right direction. I appreciate your consideration and your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next four.
Was there an Isaac Dixon?
He had to go.
He had to go.
Go ahead with Kendrick Mitchell, Jean Mulleri, Victoria Lara, and Jesus Ramirez. And they'll be followed by Fabian Ayala, Jerry Davis, Bill Kolzicki, and Daniel Beckwith.
Kendrick, would you like to begin?
Yes. Hello, my name is Kendrick Mitchell. I'm the owner and president of West Hills Electric. First of all, thank you much for having us out here, and we're really excited to see this go forward. I wanted to share a little bit of my opportunities that we have on Block 49. We're fortunate enough to do the bottom floor there, and O'Neill Walsh Constructors, Community Builders, excuse me, and Walsh Construction have been nothing but supportive and instrumental in the growth of our company. We've also had the benefit to work on the Edith Green Wendell Wyatt building as well. Howard S. Wright has definitely taken us underneath their wing, and so I just want to see those opportunities continue. I think that the biggest thing for a small firm like myself is the sustainability of it. You know, you don't want to have those great opportunities and then have something fall off of a cliff. And so I just think that with your help today, I think this is a great great plan. I think this is a great first step, and we'd like to see more in the future. Thank you.
And congratulations on your success. Hi.
Hi. My name is Gene Mallory with Affordable Electric. We've been in business for the past 8 years. We gross about 4.5 million a year. We have burning capacity up to $9 million, but yet we still haven't had a chance to have a contract with the city. We welcome the opportunity the city is bringing to us via the CBA, and yes, we are in agreement with the current resolution. We think this is the right step and a good chance for some of us to do business with the city. This resolution would allow us to build capacity, grow our business, which will allow us to provide more employment with good wages in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations as well. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for this opportunity. I support this agreement. My name is Jesus Ramirez, and I work for the Carpenters Union. And I work for our Cortez Construction, and I support this agreement because this is a big opportunity for different people, for different races, for the women's, Hispanic people, African-American people. This is a big opportunity. I'm the big example for that. Before this company, I don't have the chance to go forward in my career. I work for the minority company, and I have a big opportunity to be somebody else, not just a regular worker. And I support this agreement. That's all I can say. This is a big opportunity for everybody, not just for certain people, for everybody. And I support this agreement.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Hi. Welcome
Hi.
Back.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you to the mayor and the city council. I'm Victoria Lara. I'm the CEO of Lara Media Services, a company that's a media, marketing, and consulting. And I have been in Portland for more than 13 years. As you know, business on poor women are very difficult to make them grow. And even if we are 30% of the nation's, we only employ 6% of the workforce, and we only contribute 4% to the total revenue. That's why our economy really needs a more creative and courageous solution. And I really believe the CBA, the Community Benefits Agreement, is that, because outlines a plan that will create more jobs and access our companies like mine to have access to contracts. He also believed in the importance to establish relationship with community organizations as CAUSA or labor organizations as PECUN and the carpenters, because that will make us stronger and will help us to build a better community. I really ask you to support the CBA, because together we can transform our local economy to be more equitable and rewarding for all, and at the same time bring more wealth.